I've preached a lot of different kinds of messages. I've preached Christmas messages and Thanksgiving messages and 4th of July messages. Well, this is the first time that I can recall ever doing a Labor Day sermon. I'm going to do a Labor Day sermon because tomorrow's Labor Day. As I was thinking about labor, it made me think of employment. When I thought about employment, it made me think of unemployment. And I read something this past week that I thought was humorous. It's not true, by the way, but it is humorous. So now this is a thought joke. Okay, you got to think about this. The government did a survey because they were interested to find out what people out, you know, the people of the United States, what they were thinking about unemployment. And so they did this survey. I don't know how much it cost to do the survey, but they did this survey, this big study. It took several months to do the study, and they finally came to a conclusion. This is what they discovered. 91% of the American people were comfortable with 9% unemployment. Y'all don't get the joke. 91% of the American people were comfortable with 9% unemployment. All right, I'll preach. You guys don't get my joke. Scripture lesson this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3. You'll get it on the way home if you remember the numbers. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." May God add His blessing to that reading of His Word. First of all, I want to talk about work and life. You know, we talk about Labor Day. Labor Day is about work. It's about working people and the kind of work that they do and what they get up every day and, you know, and go to. How many of you in here are working people? That's pretty much everybody. You know, some people work at home, some people work at the office, some people work out in the field, but pretty much everybody has to do some kind of work. And so the scripture is about that. This holiday is about that. The title of the message is, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go." I was going to show you the little video from Snow White with the dwarfs going off to work in the mine. Because they're happy. They said it's what we want to do. But anyway, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Well, thinking about work and thinking about life. Work is not the way it once was. This is something that people need to understand. Work is not what it once was. In the beginning, I'm going to read from Genesis 2:15. It says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." From the very beginning, man was created with a job, with work to do. And you know what? When God created the Garden of Eden for Adam, it was perfect. It was exactly what he needed. Everything about it was exactly what he needed. This is before sin entered into the world. I mean, God would come down and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. It was a wonderful existence, and Adam had something to do. He had something important to do. He was a gardener right from the beginning. That was his job. Majored in horticulture. All right? And work was pleasurable. It was fulfilling. Work was a blessing for Adam. And something happened. Adam disobeyed God. Sin entered into the world and things changed. And work became toil. In various translations of the English Bible, some use the word toil, some use the word labor. They use different kinds of words for what happened then. But what it means is this. If you go back and you look at the Hebrew word that's right there, this is what it means. It means pain. It means hardship. It means struggle. It means sorrow. That's what man's work became. The exact same word, Hebrew word, is used a couple of verses later to describe what happened to Eve as a consequence of sin. And it talks about her labor in childbirth. It's exactly the same word that's used for both Adam and Eve in the Hebrew Bible. That's what it means. It's something that's hard. It's something that's a struggle. It's something that brings pain. This is what the word says. Genesis 3:17 through 19. Cursed is the ground because of you. That's because of Adam. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you remember he used to just go out and pick something off a tree. Now he had to grow it. Now he had to produce it through his hard work. That's what that means. By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. That's a description of fallen man. That's the default setting for fallen man. That's the way life is in a world that's filled with sin. Life is hard. You know, sometimes it gets harder, but it's always hard in this world. But you know what? That's not the end of the story. You know, the first word in Genesis 3 that I read was cursed. The earth itself and Adam himself were cursed. There was a curse that God put on them. That's the word that's used in the Scripture. But if you go to the end of the Scripture, you go to Revelation chapter 22, it says this, no longer will there be any curse. You see, that is the complete fulfillment of the redemption of Christ. Even the earth is redeemed. But I want to tell you something. For those of you who are born again, you're already redeemed. You are already redeemed. And that curse isn't for you. The Lord has set you free from that curse. You see, when you work for the Lord, it's like it was at the beginning. It's pleasure. And it's fulfillment. And it's blessing. To work with God's blessing brings joy. That's the way it is. Now, a lot of us, you know, because we tend to compartmentalize our life, we have our church part. If you don't have your face, go to church. Then we have our part over here, which is Monday morning. Got to go to work. Not like the little dwarfs in Snow White. Hi-ho! No, it's not like that on Monday morning. We just, you know, because we live over there as if we were still under the curse. But you see, that's not the way it really is. Christ redeems everything we give to Him. I think that's in the outline. You fill in the blanks there. Christ redeems everything we give to Him. You give your job to Him, and He'll make it a blessing for you. You see, He has the desire, and it's in His power to redeem all of life. That's the way Christians ought to live. Ought to live like redeemed people. And we can. We just don't because we keep it to ourselves and we don't give it to the Lord. But whatever we give to the Lord, He will bless. And He has redeemed. That's not something that has to happen in the future. That's something that's already happened for those who have given their lives, who have been born again, have put their trust in Christ. All right? Now, for those who belong to Jesus, work is for their benefit. It's a blessing. Now, here's some things that we can look at. Work and provision. In Proverbs 10:4, it says this, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. You see, when we work for the Lord and when we work with diligence, when we do it, as it says up here, work with all your heart. When we do that, you see, the Lord makes us prosper. Jesus restores pleasure and fulfillment and blessing to the things that we do. 2 Thessalonians 3:7, this is verse 7 and verse 10, it says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. Do Christians need to work? Yeah, I haven't found any manna in my backyard. I've looked for it, but it was spittlebug stuff. It wasn't manna. No, I got to work. You got to work. We all got to do that. And Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, you've seen me do this. This is our example. He says, and we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. So, you're not going to get the blessing. You're not going to get the fulfillment. You're not going to get the joy unless you do the work. But you need to do it for the glory of God. You do it for the glory of God. There's a thing that is called the Christian work ethic. In your little outline in your bulletin, it just says CWE. That's because Christian work ethic wouldn't fit on that line. But that's what it stands for, Christian work ethic. And it is this: honest work honors God. Somebody needs to cross-stitch that. Honest work honors God. When the Puritans came over, that was their ethic. And it's still a biblical ethic. Honest work honors God. All right? There's no kind of work that's godly work that doesn't honor God. When we work for the Lord with our whole heart, no matter what it is we're doing, whether we're farming or cutting hair or painting or whatever it is that we're doing, it honors God. Next, let's talk about the work and the family. 1 Timothy 5:8, it says this: if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we work not just for our blessing and for our pleasure and for our joy, but we do it also to provide for our families. This particularly applies to the one who's the head of the house, but not exclusively so. All right? Anybody who's not willing to do that isn't doing what God's called them to do. But there are other ways. It's, you know, that's not the exclusive and only way that we bless our families and we provide for our families. And so I want to throw this in here, even though it doesn't have anything to do with our work. But some, especially dads, think that if they just work and provide materially for their family, then they're done. And there's more to it than that. So here's some other things. Other ways to provide for your families. One, demonstrating nurturing love. Demonstrating nurturing love. An absent father has a hard time doing this. All right? Number two, providing spiritual leadership and guidance. The head of the household is the spiritual leader of the household. A lot of times that gets put over only in the material side, as if dad is the boss of the house. Christ is the boss of the house. But dad is the family leader, the spiritual leader, the pastor, the shepherd, if you will, of that household. Number three, by giving time and attention. When we talk about being stewards, and that comes up a little bit later down here, but we talk about talent, time, and treasure. Those are the three things we talk about in stewardship. Well, those apply to providing for your household as well, right? Time and attention. Number four, establishing an atmosphere of grace. Most children get their image, their idea of what God the Father is like by looking at their parents, who kind of stand as a human example to them. And so if you can create an atmosphere of grace, an atmosphere of forgiveness and welcoming in your household, it goes a long way toward leading children to an atmosphere of faith. Number five, encouraging others, particularly children, toward good works. These are ways that you can provide for your family. All right, the next thing has to do with work in Christ. We're Christians. We're supposed to not only put our faith in Christ for salvation, but we're also supposed to walk with Him, walk according to His Spirit and His Word, right? So how do we do that in the workplace? My dad was in business for years. He worked for Sears and Roebuck for a lot of years, back when it had Roebuck on the name. I don't know what happened to Mr. Roebuck. He kind of got tossed under the bus somewhere along the way. But anyway, when my dad worked for him, it was Sears and Roebuck. And he had a lot of friends, and he'd tell me about some of them once in a while. And he had some friends who said, you know, you really can't be Christian in your business. If you want to be a good businessman, you got to leave all that Christian stuff out the door. Well, he never believed that. and you had a pretty good business. You ran a pretty good store. But there are a lot of people that think that. You can't be a good businessman and a good Christian. I disagree. I think that's the objective for Christian businessmen, for any kind of Christian worker. So how does our work fit in to our Christian life? Well, first of all, we have to obey God's word. Christian work has to line up with godly living. I heard a thing on TV. It was an interview one time with a Christian stripper. Now, just picture that. No, don't picture that. Anyway, in the interview, she was talking about how she, you know, while she was doing her act, you know, she'd be sharing Christ with people. And we're going, yeah, right. You know, okay, there's a bad example. That's an example of work that doesn't line up with godly living. All right, so, you know, it's really not, I don't think there's any way to be a good Christian stripper. But anyway, that's beside the point, maybe. Our text said this. It said, when you work, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. He's the boss. He's the manager. He's the one you really have to answer to ultimately. And then it says, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. He's the master, right? Ultimately, you've got to answer to Him. So, you know, that really makes the point. Christian work has to line up with godly living, or the one you answer to isn't going to be happy with what you're doing. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Not as acceptable, more acceptable to the Lord. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be just. He wants us to do what's right. But He wants us to do it with all of our might, with all of our heart. All right? Second thing is, in your work, consider God's priorities. What are the things that are important to God? Well, God's Word says this. Seek first what? His kingdom and His righteousness. And then everything else will fall into its proper place. Basically, that's what the Scripture says. That's how you prioritize things in your life. It's also how you prioritize things in your business. The number one thing is to be righteous before God. And it doesn't matter what you do, again, what your business is, you need to remain righteous before God. You need to seek His righteousness. You need to seek His kingdom. He's the king no matter where you are or who you work for. All right? So that's an important thing. The second thing to consider in God's priorities is the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to go and make disciples. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean as you work in the store at the checkout counter, you share the gospel with everybody who comes through with groceries. You're probably going to get fired if you do that. But what it does mean is that you do that job in a way that is always going to honor Christ. People are going to find out that you're a believer. People are going to know that you're a Christian. And they're going to look at the way you do your job. So you always want to do it in a way that's going to be honoring to Him. Ultimately, that will lead to the opportunity to share the gospel somewhere else at some other time. And then there's the Great Commandment. That was the Great Commission. What is the Great Commandment? Love one another as I have loved you. That's the Great Commandment. He said, another commandment I give you, love one another even as I have loved you. So, whatever your business is, as you go about your work, you need to do it in a way that demonstrates the love of Christ. All right? And then we have to be good stewards. If God's going to prosper those who work diligently and work for Him, then we got to be good stewards with what the Lord has given us. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. And again, I just remind you, stewardship includes time and talent as well. That those things need to be used in a way that honors God. But I was thinking about our careers and the things that we do as we work. Most people spend most of their life on the job. We invest our life in our career. You know, we only have a certain number of years on this planet. We don't know how many years that's going to be. But however many it is, we invest it in our career. That's where we spend our time. We spend a lot more time there than we do you know, in worship or study the Word or anything like that. We spend most of our time doing work. And so we want to make sure that whatever it is that we're investing our life in serves the cause of Christ, serves the cause of the gospel. So think about how you're investing your life. You get to the bottom line. There's just three things here. Go back and reread the text, which says this. Whatever you do, and you can think about what that is, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's important, whatever it is you do. I believe that your vocation is a calling from God. Last week I said, who are the ministers in this church? And everyone here said, we're the ministers. That's us. All right, well, that's a calling from God. How do you go about doing that ministry? It's not by being called to be a pastor, in all probability, for most of you. Does that mean that you're not a minister of the gospel? Doesn't mean that at all. You minister doing what God has called you to do. That vocation is your calling from God. So, you know, you work at it with all your heart because it's important. And you do it as if you're working for the Lord because you are and not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So, the nature of our work, the manner of our work, and our attitude in work. The nature of our work is this. It needs to be meaningful and God-honoring. The Lord won't call you to something that's not meaningful, that doesn't serve His kingdom. If you're, what does Josh call it, sticking rocks? I can't remember what he calls it. It's a masonry thing that he does on his job. Sticking stone, I think that's what he calls it, sticking stone. If you're sticking stone, that's what the Lord has called you to do. And that's an important thing to do. If you got some stone stuck in your house, you want it to stay stuck and look nice. You know, and it's important that it is done that way. It's meaningful and God-honoring. That's why the Scripture says, whatever you do. This doesn't just apply to one thing or another thing or that thing over there or what this guy does. Whatever you do, this is going to be true. All right? And the manner of our work, it needs to be honest. Because honest work honors God. And it needs to be wholehearted. The text goes on and says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Put your whole self into it. I guess the modern guys would say, be the job. Okay? That's important. And then your attitude in work. How should you think about it? How should you feel about it? Well, you can feel like Adam did after the fall. Oh, man. I just weeded that garden yesterday and look at it today. I got to go out and weed it again. And oh, they got, you know, stickers on them. You can think of it that way. Or you can think about it like a redeemed person. You know, this is a blessing from God. It's a great thing that the Lord has given me this opportunity today to serve Him. You can think of it that way. So, our attitude in work should be reflecting Christ's love and grace. Reflecting Christ's love and grace. And the text, as you continue in verse 23 there, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. So Labor Day and the Lord's Day for Christians, they go hand in hand, don't they? They fit right together. One's not secular, and the other one sacred. The Lord's Day is a sacred day. So's Monday. Right? It's a holy day just like this one. And we can serve the Lord with gladness in it. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would restore and renew in us the joy of work, the pleasure of accomplishment, and the rewards of diligence. Help us to remember that the opportunity to work, the strength to persevere, the ability to succeed come from you. not to us, not to us, O Lord, but to you be glory, glory and honor and praise. For we are the work of your hands. And Lord, we thank you that you help us. You help us to be faithful. You help us to be strong. You help us to be healthy. Lord, you give us all the help that we need to do the tasks that you call us to. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.